We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Tuesday, December 22nd edition of the WorldWire NFL podcast. Week 15 is in the books. I'm Joe Bartle. Joined alongside me, as always, is Jake Letarski. We are now through to likely the championship round for many people in fantasy football.
95% of leagues, you better be playing your championship this week, because by the time next week rolls around, everyone's going to be clinching and it's just going to be very weird. You know, we'll have our stake league points to worry about. Yeah. But overall, you know, if you're playing your championship week, week 17, it's probably time to rethink those rules a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, is there really any teams we have to worry about benching their star players right now? I mean, the Chiefs still haven't quite clinched the number one seed yet. That would be the most treacherous one, and certainly in the week 17 you could see
it's going to depend on 16. Like, if the Packers win in week 16, you know, after the Saints lost, then that's possible, and there are a couple other teams in that boat. So we'll wait and see. Maybe we'll keep you apprised on that next week.
Yeah, we're hopefully dodging that bullet this go around. There's a few injuries to monitor, but honestly, if you've made it to the fantasy championships, you probably have most of your roster set. So we'll highlight some of the key pieces. Quarterback in particular seems to jump out. Maybe a few running backs as well. Before we do that, let's just kind of break down what was a shocking upset if it wasn't for the Jets winning their first game of the season against the Rams earlier on Sunday. The Bengals came to play. Have you seen any of the Juju Smith-Schuster memes that have occurred since this loss?
You know, I haven't been too big on the memes, but I did love how the telecast went straight into him. Like, here are his TikToks from earlier in the show. Now here's, that would have been the perfect candidate for Jacked Up had that segment still been around.
Yes.
But no, I mean, I don't know. I didn't have any stake of Smith-Schuster anywhere. Or, you know, I'm sure he's a fine dude, whatever, but that kind of made me chuckle, made me smile a little bit. I know if I were a Bengals player, anyone on that team, I would definitely enjoy lighting somebody like that up. So
yeah, I like the one where it's the come on, do something meme guy with the poking with the stick, poking Juju Smith-Schuster, but saying, come on, dance, as you're, while he's laying in the ground.
Have we descended to verbally describing memes on this show?
the over-under on that was like week 3, so I'm surprised we made it to week 16.
All right, fair enough. But no, I mean, this was an upset. I mean, the Bengals came and they really tossed him around early in the game. I mean, smiling Ryan Finley, he had an excellent game. I mean, he even had that rushing touchdown and he threw for one. Gio Bernard had a fantastic game. I mean, sometimes these division rivalries, if you underestimate someone, you know, stuff like this can happen.
Yeah, it's your third straight net loss now for the Steelers. I was facing Roethlisberger and Deontay Johnson in a semifinal championship. I had to get I was ahead by 50. So I'm happy that that ended up working out because Roethlisberger had a horrible game. Mm-hmm. But I was also facing Harry in one of our leagues, too. Harry's our resident tech guy and does a lot of football stuff. He's just super smart. Unfortunately, he had Deontay Johnson, and that was the only guy that really benefited mm-hmm. from the Steelers trailing for most of the game.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson's draft position next year is going to be very, very interesting mm-hmm. because when he is out there and when he is healthy, yeah, he's had his fair share of drops, you know, what have you. But he is a target machine. Once again, 13 targets. Only caught 8 of them. Maybe not the most efficient, but if you're out there getting 10, 15 targets a game, which has basically been the case when he's healthy, even when Juju Smith-Schuster is around, even with the emergence of Chase Claypool, there's huge fantasy value there. And I mean, for someone who was like a 7th, 8th round pick maybe this year, he was definitely a different maker in some leagues.
He had risen to like the 5th or 6th because there was some like pre-draft mm-hmm. helium that was centered on Deontay Johnson and the route running. I mean,
maybe we just did our Vegas league early, but I got him super late. That was the only one where, you know, because he wasn't someone I was targeting, you know, as someone who it's like, well, James Washington got targets. You don't mm-hmm. ever know who's actually going to emerge there. And all of a sudden he fell to the point where I was like, okay, I guess I'll take him at this point because he's not an every week starter. And man, he certainly paid off in that format. And yeah, he's going to be an interesting one. We'll see, you know, what the quarterback position looks like for the Steelers next year. And of course, that'll have a lot to do with it. But man, Deontay Johnson, that type of volume for PPR leagues is going to be—it's going to be something big.
A couple injuries from that contest to mention: Eric Ebron left it pretty early, although the reports afterwards indicate he didn't suffer anything serious structurally or organ damage, which is good. I didn't know that was on the table, so it's a little bit jarring mm-hmm.
That was one where he kind of got hit from both sides, right?
Yeah,
just a real ugly looking crunch, almost like the Packers did to Stafford last week.
Yeah, it was like that. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, I'm glad that that hasn't happened, but because any structural or organ damage was even on the table, you have to wonder if Vance McDonald ends up being a factor in mm-hmm. Week 16. Now, the tight end position has been a smorgasbord of bad luck and bad efforts. We mentioned Logan Thomas a couple weeks ago. He has been almost like number 4 or number 5 overall mm-hmm. in full point PPR leagues.
Logan Thomas has saved a lot of teams.
He really has, yes.
And, you know, I'm glad to be hoarding tight ends in stake league and keeping Logan Thomas on my bench while Travis Kelce balls out and robbing the rest of the league of a proper tight end here. The other injury that is worthwhile, I guess, is Tyler Boyd. I was joking around because, like, he never had weeks where he won you the week, but he was pretty consistently getting you 10, 12 fantasy points. You know, he's been a solid fantasy piece. That is up until Finley became a quarterback. And while Finley had a good game, he didn't get to do so with Boyd because he left the game early with a concussion. We'll see what happens with the short week with Boyd. He might be someone you'll need to replace in your lineups this week if, you know, you carried him this far. Again, not a weak winner, but, you know, those 10 points a week from your wide receiver 3 is pretty valuable.
Yeah, he was one of those players that we had discussed that maybe you dropped just because what's the possibility you're really playing Tyler Boyd during that stretch. They played the Cowboys. He had 5 catches for 43 yards last week. Did very little again before the injury, actually nothing before the injury, but mm-hmm. does have the Texans this upcoming week. So if you think Finley might be fine enough to keep it competitive and Boyd does come back from concussion, I can talk myself into it. It's just no more than a wide receiver 3 or flex mm-hmm. in a full point format.
Yeah, otherwise T. Higgins, I mean, Finley only threw 13 passes, and Higgins got 6 of those targets. Again, 3 for 31, nothing to write home about exactly, but you can see from this that Higgins seems to be the favorite target of Finley.
The other thing I wanted to mention was James Conner did not play in this Monday night loss to the Bengals. It sounds like he could be eligible to play Week 16, and the Steelers need him, given how bad they have played the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But Benny Snell was actually pretty effective. I thought he was... I thought he was the best player for the Steelers on either side of the ball last night, maybe TJ Watt too. Mm-hmm. But the way he was running the ball, he got a few catches as well. He just looked strong. We haven't seen that from the Steelers running game whatsoever this entire season. So I almost wonder if, given the performance we saw from Snell, they just keep Connor out another week, given they're likely making the playoffs, and see what they have with Snell getting some more reps.
Yeah, I hadn't really considered that because, you know, in my mind, even though after watching this game, in my mind, I think, man, Benny Snell's just not very good. He's had some very, very bad games this year. And this was the Bengals, who are, you know, right around there. I don't know if they're still bottom five, but they were bottom five at one point in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. So it was a really glorious matchup for whoever was going to start for Pittsburgh. If there was a time for Benny Snell to have a good game, it was this past week. And I'm not necessarily sure I'm rushing to pick up Snell. You know, maybe if you're playing someone that made it this far with Connor and you want to block him from the backup just in case and they, for whatever reason, didn't pick up Snell. There are weird scenarios, but I'm not aggressively targeting a guy like that.
Okay. All right, that's fair enough. Like we said earlier at the top of the broadcast, there's not a lot of free agents to talk about. You are entering your fantasy championships in almost every league, so for the most part, you have your lineup set. However, I think Jalen Hurts, who had yet another great game against the Cardinals this past week, might be a top four or five starter at the quarterback position this week, and he's available in 61% of Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, he's a guy that you absolutely have to go out and get. We had kind of joked last week a little bit that, like, he'll be pretty good. He'll run around. He'll make some magic happen. That he absolutely did. And at the same time, while saying, well, also the Arizona defense is maybe something to target there. And they definitely got to him a few times. That's been an issue. But Hurts was insanely productive and somebody that absolutely needs to be rostered here. Now, the question with any of these quarterbacks, though, is, you know, who exactly is going to go ahead and are you going to bench for Hurts? You know, someone who gets, you know, 40 fantasy points in a standard format, or, you know, I would say probably 37 to 42, depending on, you know, the nuances of your quarterback scoring. That's someone that you have to think about throwing out there. So I'm just looking down the list. I mean, Russell Wilson faces the toughest defense in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks in the Rams. Phil Rivers, you probably weren't starting the Steelers. Josh Allen has the Patriots, but you can't bench Josh Allen. I mean, no. Ryan Tannehill against the Packers.
You're playing Tannehill too.
Got to play Tannehill. I mean, Lamar Jackson against the Giants, got to play him.
What about Kyler Murray, though, against the Niners? That's the one I was kind of thinking. Now, Kyler Murray also went insane against the Eagles. We know the Eagles' defense is really bad, but those divisional matchups between the NFC West foes, I kind of like Jalen Hurts more than Kyler Murray, and I know it's crazy to say. I bet you both get 25 points, but if the difference is who gets you 35, I think Jalen Hurts against the Cowboys is a better shot.
Yeah, I still go Murray in that situation, and, you know, not crazy confident about it, but Murray, you've seen it do it all season. Hurts, you've seen do it for a game and a half. Mm-hmm. And again, there's just, you know, the film's out there on Murray that it's getting to be out there on Hurts now a little bit. So, and then again, that offensive line is brutal. Eventually, you know, maybe he takes a hit or something like that. I don't know. But I would put, you know, our quarterback rankings haven't came out yet, but I would say almost definitely Hurts cracks the top 12 and then is going to make things very, very difficult.
I bet she's like 8 or 9 this week. Yeah. I think that's probably where I'd have him too. So again, if you're in your fantasy championships, there's only two quarterbacks that really matter. What are the odds that you are really needing one? I'm not sure. I think Hurts is the best option. However, there is Baker Mayfield against the Jets. Now, I'll say I picked up Jared Goff 3 weeks ago with the idea I'm going to play Jared Goff against the Jets this week. It's going to be great. It's going to work out just fine. That did not happen. Yep. I lost that matchup. I'm not worried about Baker Mayfield having the same struggles as the Rams offense, but there is a little bit more show that's happening from New York recently.
Yeah. We'll absolutely have to see. I mean, I did the same dang thing. I thought, okay, finally I get to bench Matt Ryan for somebody with a good matchup
Matt Ryan
this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, then Ryan goes off. You know, I just can't get that situation right all year long. But no, Mayfield, if you do have to stream someone for whatever reason, if you've been, you know, across the boards with quarterbacks in a couple leagues that I haven't been able to quite find one that sticks, Mayfield probably checks in as the top streaming option. Maybe more for two quarterback leagues, but do you have any interest in Marcus Mariota? I mean, he gets the Dolphins.
I think I do in two QB leagues. Now, he looked really fantastic against the Chargers. And I was telling my friends while we were watching that game, whatever notion you had of Marcus Mariota as a pro, you should not change your opinion based off of this game. The Chargers defense is not good. I don't think they're very disciplined. They've fallen off towards the end of the year, especially with Derwin James gone and then Casey Hayward's taking a step back. But Mariota ran wild. And there was a lot of good yardage in the same way that we're talking about Jalen Hurts. that Mariota had. There's less throws that I thought were automatic. There was that beautiful touchdown pass to Darren Waller on Thursday. That was one of his first ones when he came. Exactly. It's like, oh, okay, Mariota's back. And then he had two should have been interceptions later on in the game. It's like, oh, yeah, that's why he is a backup that's Mariota. Too.
Yeah, I mean, 30 fantasy points or almost 30 fantasy points, depending on your score, is nothing to balk at for sure. Of course, a lot of that came from 9 carries for 88 yards. And you do get a little bit of that mid-game when you switch to a running quarterback from Derek Carr. You know, defense didn't face a scout team that did anything like that all week long. So, you get a little bit of element of surprise there, whereas Miami might get to prepare more. And they're also giving up the 11th fewest points to opposing fantasy quarterbacks. So really it's only a 2-quarterback league thing for me, you know, unless you're sitting around thinking, oh, maybe Trubisky, maybe Gardner Minshew, you know, if you're in that level, then maybe you can toss Mariota into the mix, but really he's more of a 2-quarterback person for me.
I would agree with that. And I think Gardner Minshew, who you just mentioned, probably falls in that category as well. However, Jacksonville plays Chicago, and I mean, the Bears still have playoff aspirations, however small they might be.
Yeah, that's a very, very tough one. I'd almost take the other side, and you get Mitch Trubisky against the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars are giving up the second. They're in standard formats, 26.6 fantasy points a game allowed to opposing quarterbacks. Yeah. So, you know, you don't get many more juicier matchups unless you're the Falcons and Patrick Mahomes. and you get to ride him to a title this week. He's been, you know, such a solid option here.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Chiefs. I think one of the top pickups overall actually is going to be at the running back position. Clyde Edwards-Helaire seems like he's not going to be playing this week, right? I mean, that seems to be the indication that we got Monday.
Yeah, it was multiple injuries for Edwards-Helaire, and this team is playoffs bound. They obviously think very highly of the rookie. You know, it's an high ankle sprained and a strained hip. I would bet we don't see him till the divisional round of the playoffs.
I think that's fair. And you're assuming that they get the bye week.
Right? Assuming that they get the bye week, yes.
I think that's fair as well. So if that's the case, then Le'Veon Bell enters as the top running back for a Chiefs offense. And you mentioned they play the Falcons. I don't know what the score is going to be at halftime, but I have to imagine it's the Chiefs up and probably in a point to be able to run away with it in the second half. There you have the pylon carries with Le'Veon Bell. Again, if you believe that Edwards-Helaire is going to be back for the playoffs, you can probably workhorse Le'Veon Bell a little bit, save your Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce's, Mahomes, everything else, and just give 15 to 20 carries, which we haven't seen from the Chiefs offense much, to a running back. So if Bell is available in your league, and I know in Yahoo he's at 54% rostered, I think he's worth a pickup and could be a running back two type of deal or even a flex if he's available.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing is 54% rostered when I looked last night. I just looked again now. He's at 56% rostered. So, of course, waivers in a lot of leagues are going to clear tonight and on Wednesday night. And he'll be tough to get, but he should be absolutely the first name you search for there. Yeah, he's not the Le'Veon Bell he was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But he's still got it. He's still capable of scoring. He plays on one of the best offenses that'll constantly have one of the highest implied totals of every single week. That is your guy. The volume and the skill both add up enough for me.
Tony Pollard was a huge letdown for me. I talked about him on the podcast yesterday with Liss and also on XM2.
Wait a minute, a huge letdown?
For me, yes, because I didn't start him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he let me down because I didn't start him.
I was like, wait a minute.
It wasn't
explain
that he did
that.
Well.
Explain
no,
that.
He
you
let me
take
down.
A step back here.
Yeah, it was. I had already decided I was not going to play Ezekiel Elliott. So when Elliott was ruled out kind of unexpectedly on Sunday, I was like, well, I'm not playing Elliott. I'm not going to play the backup either because I had Pollard just about everywhere. Well, of course, he goes off and gets 30-plus points. This is a spot, again, like the Cowboys really aren't competing. I mean, like I don't even know if they have their playoff hopes completely ruled out, but they're very marginal.
Yeah,
so,
I saw a stat. I think it's dependent on your scoring system, but Tony Pollard in week 15 had more fantasy points than Ezekiel Elliott's last like 31 games. Something absolutely crazy.
Okay. I mean, so to point that, I mean, do you wonder if the Cowboys just say, nah, Zeke, it's fine. We're paying a ton of money. Come back next year after being completely healthy. We'll see what we have Tony Pollard. Honestly, you could probably make some draft capital moves with Tony Pollard if he ends up having a good 2 or 3 weeks. It's entirely possible you could end up moving him. So I think picking up Pollard makes sense. But if he were to be the starter, do you feel comfortable actually playing him the same way that you feel comfortable with Le'Veon Bell?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, and Pollard, you still somehow have a more likely chance to get. He's 46% rostered, so a little bit more availability there than someone like Bell. We have been pretty much pumping this guy up all season. There's a reason he always was at the top of our backup list. You know, the Dallas offensive line isn't quite what it was, but Pollard still has the ability to be successful. I would argue he's a better pass catcher than Ezekiel Elliott. He's sometimes better in the open field. Maybe a little bit less powerful. I'll give him that, but But no, Pollard is an absolute quality player, and he definitely rivals Bell in terms of the pickup this week. And I think you could even make a case that Pollard would be the top pickup this week if he's out there. I get scared zero from Rico Doughty. Is the other guy, and really the only threat to Pollard is Zeke possibly coming back.
Yep.
That's the only reason I'll rank Bell ahead of Pollard, because I guess we could still see some Zeke snaps.
Plays than ever. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, the Cowboys just do dumb things, so I could very well see them playing Ezekiel Elliott when he shouldn't be out there, especially given how well Pollard played. The matchup certainly works. So if Pollard is the starter, I agree with you. I'm picking him up. I'm playing him. I think Le'Veon Bell is still the first name that I'm looking up, though, out of that. And to rank Hurts, Bell, and Pollard, it probably depends on your need at quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we're following along with that. There's a second tier of running backs, but I still think some value. Cam Akers, we already know, thank you, Sean McVay, I guess, will not play Week 16. So we have Daryl Henderson or Malcolm Brown now back in the center stage for the Rams running back. It's going to be a pivotal divisional matchup for them. They were embarrassed this past week against the Jets. They play the Seahawks this week. Do you like Henderson or Brown, or is it kind of one of those that's going to be muddled to the point where we won't know who to play?
Yeah, that's the thing. They're going to definitely take away from each other. I like Henderson better, you know, between the 20s, and Brown better inside the 20s, and that seems to have been the narrative this year before Cam Akers suddenly emerged as their go-to guy. PPR, Henderson gets a little bit of a lift there for sure. I think he gets more of the pass catches that are coming out of the backfield. I don't know. It's a little bit of a tough match. Actually, they're right in the middle here. Seahawks 18th in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs there. So there's nothing crazy about the matchup. You're taking half of a good backfield here. So what's that worth? 8-9 fantasy points, yeah. Maybe? Maybe one of them scores, and that tips the scales a little bit. So I'd be hard-pressed to sit one of your starting backs that got you to the title game for either Henderson or Brown. But if you need one of these backs, chances are you're not here if you had Zeke. But, you know, if you need one of these guys, if maybe... Wayne Gallman would be an example.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly about the same kind of thing. Because even Gallman, when they were behind, was losing to Alfred Morris, which was mysterious. Maybe you're a Mike Davis owner and Christian McCaffrey comes back, and then you question that Davis play quite a bit. That's when you maybe go to a guy like Daryl Henderson. I'll give Henderson's floor a little bit higher because I think he'll see more touches. But Brown is the guy that would get the goal line carries, I believe.
See, I think Henderson's ceiling is the higher one, too. I think he's got the more big play potential. And if he gets a hot hand, for whatever the reason, if you're like, wow, he's breaking off 6-7 yards a carry, then he's going to end up getting 12 to 14 touches and maybe gets an opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, his floor and ceiling is higher, so we can just say he's the better play because Brown could easily end up with, three carries for 2 yards in this game. So we'll have to see.
The other running back to mention is Salvin Ahmed, who had a great game against the Patriots. However, it seems like Myles Gaskin is going to be returning soon off the COVID-19 list. We already had Matt Breida return this past week as well. I would be completely fine starting Ahmed if I knew Gaskin was not going to play, but the way the Dolphins have been handling the situation, I don't think we're going to find out till Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it's probably not worth using an immediate waiver wire pickup. You could get him, I think, on Friday or Saturday when we have more information.
Yeah, exactly. So Gaskin was placed on the COVID list on December 12th. Today we are recording it is December 22nd. So it would be past, that 2 week mark, but again, we just don't really know the details on this. They're being a little mum on that as most of these cases are. So could have a shot. December 26th against Raiders. That seems like a solid matchup here. But if he doesn't, maybe Ahmed is worth, clinging to a little bit just in case, because you could roll him out again. Same thing with Lynn Bowden. I mean, this team is just covered with injuries, right? And Bowden is getting action. What was that? I watched it on Red Zone where Bowden ran 20 seconds to get 7 yards or something. It was it was crazy. Some reverse action, and then he cut back up the other way. You can see why they're intrigued by him. But, a guy that we talked about last week, Bowden, is really only viable, I think, if both Parker and Gesicki stay out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So, the quarterbacks and running backs, there was some value to them. Wide receiver, not so much. We're going to get to wide receiver right after the word from our sponsors here, BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free 6-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website and use promo code RO ROTO. That's ROTO to claim your free subscription. Once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insight. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbook by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditioning. 21 years or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please make sure to gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. If you're in Tennessee, call or text the red line at 1-800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants to help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional code not available in Nevada. So running backs, great. Quarterbacks, great. Wide receivers, not so much. We had mentioned Lynn Bowden, Russell Gage, Hamler, Chad Henson, another pretty good game, and MVS's options. And, you know, we've kind of gotten to the point where some of these guys really don't work. Russell Gage was good enough, I think, with Julio Jones out. But there just isn't a lot left on the waiver wire. The biggest news will probably be following what happens with the Chargers wide receivers. We had talked about it on the podcast last week. I was saying Tyron Johnson is a viable candidate. I didn't believe Jalen Guyton was going to be. Guyton ended up having the most receiving yards, but that took a 53-yard reception in overtime to have it happen. Before it was Tyron Johnson that was doing it.
Yeah, the other factor is that Guyton was on the field for 53 snaps. That was a team high. 39 for Tyron Johnson, and Mike Williams only out there for 28 snaps. He's kind of playing through a back injury, so he's not at 100% either. Of course, Keenan Allen, 24 snaps. I mean, it's a long week. Do you think Keenan Allen has enough time to kind of get back to it?
My sense of it was that Mike Williams was the more injured of the two, so I was surprised that they are even doing this play it coy and safe with Keenan Allen stuff, especially when Austin Ekeler returned. They gave him like 37 touches right away. It was a really bizarre thing when they also were going to try to wait and see with Austin Ekeler. But they did. They limited both Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I think Allen should be better and the one good to go. But if Mike Williams is healthy, Guyton still plays. Guyton's out there regardless. He's had the season-high snaps. That's not a weird number to see him at 59. If Mike Williams is available, Tyron Johnson is not. But if Mike Williams is out or limited, Tyron Johnson once again becomes a viable starter, I think, this week, given how much the Chargers have been passing and how great Justin Herbert has been this season.
No, I can buy that. I mean, you know, you follow the Chargers a lot closer than me, but Tyron Johnson looks like the guy, at least, that they look to, you know, in the end zone. And, you know, five targets, nothing to joke about there. So I'm just hoping we get some Keenan Allen action. I got to play, I think it's Mario in our Dynasty League Championship here. Okay. So that's coming up. And I've relied on Keenan Allen quite a bit this year. Been working out great.
Good job to survive this past week, because I'm sure you played him. Everyone played him just to get those 24 snaps.
Yeah, I mean, 9 yards. Stephon Diggs, Hunter Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry kind of helped me through all that.
Okay, fine. That's just rubbing it in.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to reign for several years in that league. But
the other wide receiver to mention is Rashard Higgins. Again, has kind of emerged. We had mentioned him earlier in the podcast when Odell Beckham went down with that season-ending injury. We hadn't seen it quite yet from Higgins because of the weather really was limiting Baker Mayfield and company from throwing the ball. These past couple weeks now, he's gotten more involved. 4 catches for 76 yards in the win over the Giants. Has the Jets this past week has had at least 6 receptions in 2 of the last 3 games. I think Higgins actually is a very, very viable wide receiver 3 just about everywhere that might still be available on Yahoo Leagues.
Yeah, Higgins is establishing himself, but don't forget they got tight end Austin Hooper back this week too, so that's definitely another place for these passes to go a little bit. So yeah, Higgins is there. Jarvis Landry is still the overall one. I think you need to get a game where they're going to throw quite a bit for that to pay off. So I'm a little bit skeptical on Higgins. Great matchup against the Jets this week. You know, they're 25th in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing receivers in standard formats. So that alone makes it look pretty good for Higgins. But I don't know. You know, Jets weather in late December too. You know, we talked about weather being bad earlier. We don't have a forecast yet, but you know, that could get ugly and play a factor. I mean, it's a run first team where Landry's the top target and Hooper's coming back. So Higgins is really more of a desperation play than anything else for me. I wrote him on here because we just literally have no options.
Yeah,
I'd actually probably take Russell Gage over all these guys because
Julio's out.
Yeah, because I think we can assume Julio's out at this point. We talk about incentive to rush him back. You know, maybe I could eat these words, but I'm not really counting on Julio suddenly getting rushed back this week.
No, the Falcons do dumb things just like the Cowboys do, too. So I'm not convinced that won't happen. You know, a smart team wouldn't, but maybe Julio Jones convinces Arthur Blank to say, yeah, make sure I'm out there so I can get some more stats and keep padding my Hall of Fame. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I think you can make narratives for this. The phrase is intend to play before season's end. That's our last headline. So that could very well end up being, you know, week 17.
Didn't end up playing.
You know, week 17 at Tampa Bay, you know, another matchup there. actually a pretty tough matchup for all those guys. Kansas City's got the third best defense against opposing wide receivers, which is surprising. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought, you know, playing with big leads and soft coverage and all that, that they, you know, they'd at least be middle of the pack. But Kansas City's a little bit better than expected. Obviously, you're not scared of Calvin Ridley no matter what the situation is. But, no, Gage becomes a little bit interesting if Jones is out.
I really think Higgins is actually going to be a good play, and it's only because Jarvis Landry can't catch everything. The Browns are going to throw 25 to 30 times. I know that they are run heavy, but there's just going to be plays involved. And on the flip side, the Browns' defense is pretty banged up, too, in the secondary. So I think the Jets can get some offense going and make the Browns.
Going to take that momentum in there?
Well, no, they're going to lose still. But I think there's going to be some scoring involved. It's not going to be, all right, here's Chubb and Kareem Hunt for three quarters. I just don't think that's how it's going to work. I think Higgins actually makes complete sense in a full point PPR. Actually, probably more in standard because of the yardage he gets as opposed to the reception. So, yeah, Higgins and possibly Tyron Johnson. It's really limited at wide receiver. And if you thought wide receiver is limited for free agent pickups, don't look at tight ends because right now it's still Logan Thomas, who's at 58% rostered. Dalton Schultz caught a touchdown. Cole Kmet's kind of getting more involved. Austin Hooper is kind of the only other name.
Yeah, Austin Hooper's worth coming back as he returned from an absence here. You know, the second most targets on the team after Jarvis Landry had more targets than Higgins and caught 5 for 41 and a score. You know, the matchup here again, we'll see what the conditions are for throwing. I wouldn't worry about that too much. Take that into account. But no, 48% as far as a guy that fits our threshold, Hooper's probably your best bet if you're still streaming tight ends in your championship game, or you're like us in stake league and still fighting for stakes, going for points.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone that's in the championship has Travis Kelce, so it's kind of like a moot point. But
is it a Kelce versus Waller championship across the board? Because
I mean,
I think you're going to see that in a ton of places.
Thomas. I mean, like I said, Logan Thomas has had a pretty good game last year, but for the most part, it is just those two.
Maybe he had Kittle for a while, then floundered around, then got Thomas or something along those lines.
I mean,
who knows?
Kittle was done in like week two. It's tough. I think it is Kelce and Waller and maybe Mark Andrews because he's had some bigger boom or bust games. I don't know. It's a tough thing.
That's a tough one to swallow. But, yeah, Austin Hooper's the guy. You know, we can run through the same guys we always have been through. Dalton Schultz, Cole Kmet, Dan Arnold. Higbee's getting more involved lately. You know, he's a guy that, you know, we haven't talked about a ton, but I'm seeing his ownership definitely trend a lot upward. You just kind of run down the list. Use our defense versus position matchup. I can't feel strongly recommending anyone who's going to score on a given week. You know, we don't know that any better than you guys do.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Tight end is kind of a wasteland, has been for most of the season. So why would it be any different in the fantasy?
Yeah, I'll just say one more thing that against opposing tight ends in standard formats, the Jets are giving up 12.1 points per game, which is the most in the league by a margin of 1.7 points. So almost a full standard deviation there. So I'm definitely looking at Austin Hooper. You know, kind of running down this list. I mean, the Bears are bad against tight ends. You really want to go Austin or Tyler Eifert. The Bills are bad. I'm not quite sure you roll Dalton Keene out in any situation.
No.
Jags are bad against tight end. I mean, Cole Kmet, I didn't see the snap counts this week, but Cole Kmet, when I did the inactives, I wrote that Kmet had outsnapped Jimmy Graham for the last 3 weeks leading up to this week. So there's something there maybe. You're fishing at this point. I think Hooper's the first guy you look at, though.
64 snaps for Kmet. My best ball team is just happy and ecstatic, but he only got 2 catches for 12 yards. So,
yeah, exactly.
One of those things. We'll move over to the defenses. Last week was kind of hit or miss as well. You have the Texans against the Bengals, third string quarterback. I know Ryan Finley lit the Steelers up, but maybe it was just a get up for that divisional game and you have a letdown against the Texans. I don't know. There's definitely sack potential. We saw that this past Monday or yesterday, I should say.
Yeah, I agree with Jerry on our site in his streaming defenses article. Definitely got to go with the Texans here. Even Payne mentions them in the waiver wire column. I think that'll be the clear-cut consensus across the industry. I wrote on our outline, lightning doesn't strike twice. You know, Ryan Finley is Ryan Finley. You know, it's not like Joe Burrow's magically ascending back or anything like that. Whoever they throw out there, whether it's Finley, Allen, what have you, it's not going to go as well as it did against the Steelers. I don't care who they play. It's not going to go that well. Teams aren't going to underestimate them or take it lightly or whatever happened with the Steelers. Who the heck knows? But at only 17% rostered, you can go ahead and get them. It's an aggressive pass rush. You hope for maybe a turnover or something like that. And then and that's that. So, I mean, you're not really competing with a ton of people for defenses at this point in the year. You know, if that's the only spot you need on your roster, empty the rest of your fab because you can't take it with you.
Well, and I imagine most people have already picked up the Cleveland Browns defense because they are playing against the Giants and now play the Jets. So that's one of two defenses that are already locked down for the most part. in many leagues. I could see Tampa Bay being a pretty solid start against the Lions, especially if Matthew Stafford ends up being another play. Chase Daniels kind of came in late during that contest. I think the Bucs defense, obviously horrible against the pass, but they can get turnovers and they can get sacks, and that's what you're looking for from a points perspective. Washington has been playing out of their mind recently, too. The Panthers' offense has been kind of lackluster. I mean, really, that Packers game, it was the defense that kept the Panthers around, not the offense. Mm-hmm. I could see Washington being a good option, too. And the Cardinals against the Niners, with the Niners the way they've been turning the ball over recently with Nick Mullins, I think that's a pretty good play, too.
Yeah, you mentioned Cleveland. You're kind of toast there. They're 73% rostered. I think people were looking ahead a little bit. I mean, if Stafford played through his injuries this past week, there's nothing that I could see that would stop him from suiting up against Tampa Bay, unless ownership comes in and says, hey, you know, like, we don't want your internal organs to get crushed. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's pretty much it. So, yeah, that's the only one that would make a case for Tampa Bay, but even then they're at 51%. So, I mean, it's the Texans and then really
– I think Washington – I would be very comfortable playing Washington against the Panthers.
Yeah, Washington's interesting because, you know, Chase Young is coming around
– Pro Bowl.
Making big plays. Pro Bowl, yeah, exactly. You want to talk – oh, geez. When I hear the word Pro Bowls, I automatically think Bobby T, Pro Bowl snub. It comes straight to my mind. You know, not to change the subject too much, but
– That didn't bother me. The DeForest Buckner instead of Calais Campbell was the one that really pissed me off. There's no way – and not that I'm a Colts fan or even an AFC fan, but whatever.
That's next week's show, Pro Bowl snubs. But historically, our last waiver wire podcast of the season has been, we either do like a little bit of time for waiver wire awards, who is the best pickup at each position this season. You know, I'm thinking of that through my head, or maybe we do a little first round mock. We did that last year, and that was fun. Yeah, let's do both. Let's dive in next week because, you know, I guess we can talk about, you know, right at the beginning briefly if there are any pickups for those week 17 players. But yeah, overall, I think we'll have a nice little wrap up next week.
Yeah, a shorter podcast today, obviously, because there's just a few limited options, but at quarterback and running back, if you need a fill-in, you definitely have some options available. But you're right. I think next week, our final podcast of the season, we'll go over the free agent pickups for a little bit. We'll talk about some free agent ward pickups as well. But the thing I'm most excited for is that first-round mock, which we'll do and kind of break it down. Last year was a lot of fun. It was a good exercise. And I was surprised with how close it ended up mirroring for the most part when we kind of took back to the radio on July when we were doing the podcast. So it'll be fun. I'm happy that we were able to do this together. And we have one more to go, Jake. One more podcast of the NFL season.
Yeah, it's been a long journey, a couple months here. It's always a pleasure to be doing waiver wires. Hopefully we help some people, you know, stay alive and get to those championship weeks this week, because that's what that's all about. So we'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah, best of luck in your championship.